to try to cover the Hilchos Shabbos that to cover the Hilchos Shabbos that's negated to us on Shabbos, each Shabbos. I want to start off with the shaylas that come up on the off Shabbos. And I get phone calls Friday afternoon. Maybe we can lessen some of those phone calls. but I'm afraid maybe we should start with the shaylas that negate on Shabbos, because then I can't get the phone calls. but okay. But at least we'll start with Erev Shabbos. Now, what I'm going to try to do is, as Amram Chaim suggested, and I like listening to suggestions, that to try to give like a short background to the halachas with klolim that we could, when we're in the matzav, we know how to apply it to different things that come up. Okay, b'shus everyone. Now, we all know that on Shabbos there's 39 malachas. 39 malachas that are awesome. Where do these 39 malachas come from? So the source to them is the Gemara learns out from different places. One of them is from the Mishkan. 39 malachas that were used in building the Mishkan are the 39 malachas that are awesome on Shabbos. Chazal, with their chokhmah, were able to figure out what are these 39 malachas. Now, every malacha has what's called the Av. Av is the way it was done in the Mishkan. Then we have what's called Toldos. Then we have what's called Toldos, which is other ways of doing the malacha in a similar way, which will bring to the same accomplishment. And then we have Isuri Drabbanon, that Drabbanon acid certain activities, either because you'll come to do the Issa Daraisa, or for other reasons they felt not to do it. That's basically the setup of each malacha. We have to define the Av malacha, work out what the Toldos are, and then we get down to the Issuri Drabbanon. Okay, now, Erev Shabbos, are there any Issurim on Erev Shabbos? Are there any Issa malachas on Erev Shabbos? There's no Issa malachas on Erev Shabbos. One second. There's no Issa malachas on Erev Shabbos. However, therefore, if I will take a malacha and I will do my role, whatever my role is, that malacha. Let's give an example. I set up. The Gemara gives an example of a rechaim, of a mill that runs by the water. As the water flows, cause the mill to turn and grinds the wheat. So grinding wheat on Shabbos, if I would grind it on Shabbos, I'd be over on a malacha, which is called teichin, grinding wheat. You're not allowed to grind wheat on Shabbos. But over here, where I took the wheat, I put it in the mill before Shabbos, and now it's continuing on Shabbos to grind by itself. It's not a problem, because the malacha is being done by itself. So anytime I set up the malacha before Shabbos, that the activity of the malacha is happening on Shabbos by itself would be mutter. There are a few exceptions to this rule. One exception is if what I'm doing on Erev Shabbos is going to continue to run on Shabbos, but it's going to make noise. But of course, it will make noise. And that noise is what's called Av Shemilsa. It's a zilzul to Shabbos. It's not covered to Shabbos that a machine should be running on Shabbos in a way that people will hear that noise and will think someone's doing malach on Shabbos. So those machines, like an air conditioner, which when you hear an air conditioner running, no one thinks that someone's turning it on Shabbos. Everyone knows you set the air conditioner before Shabbos, and it goes on by itself on Shabbos, so you turn it on before Shabbos and go straight on. But let's say a dryer, which is not so common to set before Shabbos, if it's a dryer that will make noise, like some dryers in this country, they jump and they dance. So that could be a problem to leave it on, even though the malacha, I'm not doing anything. I push the button before Shabbos, it's drying by itself on Shabbos. But if it will make a lot of noise, that could be an issue.
Because people think it's on Shabbos?
Because people will think that it was being turned on Shabbos, that's a zilzul to Shabbos. So then we get to the issue of Shabbos clocks.
What's there a lot of noise?
Rav Moshe writes in Shuvah, if you could hear in the other room. Now let's move on to Shabbos clocks. So can I set a Shabbos clock for the lights to go on Shabbos. Can I set a Shabbos clock for different things to go on? So over here, the accepted psak, by most Paiskim is that since it's normal to set things on Shabbos clocks, you can set your lights on Shabbos clock, you can set the air conditioner on a Shabbos clock, there's no problem. Rav Moshe himself writes in a few tshuvas, he was very machmer on Shabbos clocks. He was very worried that if we're going to allow people to use Shabbos clocks, you'll run your factories on Shabbos clocks, and then there goes the whole union of rest of Shabbos, because your businesses are just going, and you're... So therefore, Rav Moshe was hesitant about Shabbos clocks, but like we said, the accepted psak is that Shabbos clocks are muta. Now, let's move on a step. There's another exception to this rule. Yeah. What?
No, you're not doing the lights.
That's right. Now, let's move on to the next step. The next exception. That's what we want to discuss here. The next exception to this rule that if you start the Melach Erev Shabbos, it can continue by itself on Shabbos, is when it comes to Dinei Bishul. Dinei Bishul. What is Bishul? Bishul means cooking. Including cooking is boiling, frying, roasting, baking, any activity which is done with the heat of fire to improve the food, to make the food edible, or to make it more edible. Usage of the heat of fire, however you're doing that, that's bishul. That's bishul. So now, according to the rules we just finished saying, if I take the pot and I put it on the fire Erev Shabbos, and I move my hands away, and I just let it go by itself onto Shabbos, it should be mutter. However, Chazal felt that it's dangerous to do that, because people are into their food. You want to have good, edible food for your Friday night meal, so they're worried that you might come to stoke the coals. Right, back in the days, they had coals in the fire, and you'll come to stoke the coals to make the fire burn better, to make the food cook better. And then we're running into a problem. While you're stoking the coals, you're being over on the melacha of Havara, which is making a fire. Making a fire higher is Havara. And or cooking the food, if you cause the food to cook quicker or better, you're over on Bishul. So therefore Chazal said that in order for you to leave your food on the fire from Erev Shabbos to continue cooking on the Shabbos, there are certain conditions for that. That's what we want to discuss now. Now, someone calls the Rav and says, Erev Shabbos, I just got the tzvas, and we didn't get a chance yet to get the food on. What do we need to do in order that we can leave it on the fire before Shabbos, right? So the answer is here on the paper. So number one is that if the food did not reach half cooked or third cooked, then it's usur to leave it on a open fire. That's rule number one. If it did not reach half or at least a third cooked, it cannot be left on an open fire. How do I know if it's a half cooked or a third cooked? So usually if you know that it takes 2.5 hours, let's say, it takes 2 hours for it to get soft and ready to be eaten, so then a half of that will be 1 hour, and a third of that will be 3/4 hour, right? So that's basically, you can usually work it out with the time that it takes for it to be fully cooked.
What does it mean, half or a third?
What it means is that there's a machlokes. If a third is enough, or you need a half. So the chatchila we say it should be a half cook. Chatchila should be half cook. If you don't have a choice, and then a third is enough. So that's what we say here first. It's also to leave food which is not a half or a third cooked on open fire. Okay. Now, then I discuss in the next paragraph how we measure a half or a third cooked, either by time, beginning when the food reaches Yatzeledesboy, which is when it reaches the heat of between 110 to 120 Fahrenheit or 43 to 48 Celsius, until fully cooked, or when it's ready to be eaten in case of need. That's how you can tell if it's half cooked. By water, also we have same din. By water, when it reaches between yatzeledes and when it reaches yatzeledes, it's considered half. Yeah.
What's considered a tarif for Shabbat for eating, in case of need, by eating?
Let's say in case of need.
Sure.
Until fully cooked, when it's ready to be eaten, in case of need. What's that case of need?
If you need to eat it, you would say, I'm not eating this.
If you're starving to death or like...
Starving to death? No, talking about normal people.
Normal people would eat it or not.
Yeah. Okay.
Wouldn't that be different for every person?
Yeah, but more or less, most people are the same. More or less, it's based...
Most people.
More or less...
Or like a rare steak.
Is it considered...
Yeah, it says between 110 and 120 degrees. Yeah.
Is it considered a need if you know, like, you have extra food, like, you have more than you know you need, but you might need it. I'm saying, like...
So that's called a need.
It is considered a need?
Yeah. Yeah, okay, so again, so if it's less than... If it's... So now let's work further. So if it's more than a half cooked, you can leave it on open fire. If it's less than a half cooked, so then we need to come on to other eitzes. What are they? So number three, it's permissible to leave all food on a covered fire from Erev Shabbos. So if my fire is covered, you can leave whatever you want. So when you call the Rav says, "Do you have a blech?" Just put the blech on the fire, and then you don't have to worry about is the food half cooked, the third cooked. You cover the fire with a blech, that's enough. A blech is an acceptable cover, and that's enough. How about, so then sometimes the answer is, I don't have a blech, but I could cover the knobs. Covering the knobs is not enough of a cover. Rav Moshe, that's not enough of a cover of the stove top, let's say. Let's talk about a stove top. Covering the knobs alone is not enough of a cover. You need to have a cover on the fire.
What do you mean the knobs?
Those things that you do.
Because that's what might lead you to come to Havar?
Same thing. Rav Moshe holds that it's a good thing to cover the knobs, but covering the knobs alone is not enough. We need to put a blech on the fire.
That's the only way that you get the fire hotter these days, so why?
Let's try to get the rules, and then I'll answer your questions.
Taking off the knobs is covering, right?
Okay, taking off the knobs may be a different issue, maybe a different reason, a new eitzah, but let's work through the eitzahs first. Good point. If we leave anything out, then we'll... So let's start again. So either we cover the fire with a blech. If we can't cover the fire with a blech, so then covering the knobs alone, according to Rav Moshe, will not be enough. In an oven, Rav Moshe held that you need to put a square metal box as a cover, because since the heat is spread out throughout the whole oven, you need a square metal box.
Or for what?
In the oven, as a blech.
You don't want it to get cooked.
As a blech.
You're covering the walls.
No. The point of all this is, as a hecker, as a reminder, not to play with the fire anymore. When I put a cover on the fire or I put a blech in the oven, that will act as a reminder to me, you're finished with this fire, don't touch the fire.
The food goes in the box and you put that in?
You put the food is in the box, yeah. So that's what we have over here. We have either put a blech on the fire or you put this metal square box in there. That's according to Rav Moshe. However, according to other Paiskim, there are other places that are makel that even in an oven, it will be enough to just put a blech on the bottom or wherever the main source of heat is. So if one would need to, they could be samach on that. Then in an oven, just to put a piece of foil or something metal on the bottom, which will act as a blech in the oven. Now, what about hot plates or steam tables? Halacha l'maisa, when it comes to the dinim of Erev Shabbos, right? We're talking about here Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, I want to leave my food on a source of heat. If it's a hot plate or a steam table, then it makes no difference if the food is half cooked or not half cooked. You can leave it on an uncovered hot plate or steam table. That's number four. It's permissible to leave all food on an uncovered hot plate or steam tables which have no dial to raise or lower the heat. Right? So it has to be a type of hot plate where there's no dials to raise, which most hot plates are like that, the hot plates that we have. Which, and also, it's a hot plate which is used for warming food and not cooking. Which, again, most hot plates that we have are used for warming food, not for cooking. On that, you can leave food without covering the hot plate.
So we're not worried about Bishop by hot plate.
We're not worried about the Dine Shia. We're not worried about raising the fire because there's no way to raise it. Same thing will be mutter, the same thing will be true. If let's say I have an urn, without any dials, just on and off, and that's it. There's no raising it to 1, 2, 3, or there's no high and low. Same thing, I can fill it with water before Shabbos, and I don't have to worry about reaching a certain heat that's considered half cooked or not. That's another etzah. So again, I don't have a block for my stovetop. I don't have a metal box for my oven. I could take a hot plate and just put the food on the hot plate before Shabbos, and it will be stay warm for Shabbos. According to some paiskim, number 5, another etzah is, according to some paiskim, a pot with raw meat inside. I have a pot and I throw in a piece of raw meat, maybe left on an open fire from right before Shabbos. If I'm going to put it on, but there's two tonight over here. Tonight number 1 is that there has to be a raw piece of meat. It's not enough if you have raw vegetables, raw meat, which takes a long time to cook. And it's put on right before Shabbos. Right before Shabbos, you put it on the fire. Because then we're not worried that you're going to come to play with the fire, because it's not going to help you to play with the fire, because anyways, it's going to take a while for the food to cook.
Uh-huh.
Okay? No, you're doing it every Shabbos. I'm doing it every Shabbos. I don't have the problem, Bishop. Okay? Now, jump to B'di'evid before we do number 6. B'di'evid, in case of need.
What's the second reason? What's the second thing? Second tonight you need it for
right before Shabbos, you have to put it on. Now, jump to B'di'evid in case of need. In case, let's say, all these eights I cannot do. I don't have a block for my fire. I don't have a hot plate to put the food on a hot plate. Right? So then one may cover only the knobs. Reb Aaron Cutler held the B'di'evid in a case of need, it's enough to cover the knobs. Right? So even though before we were going with Reb Moshe, who said that covering the knobs alone is not enough, but in a case of need, we could be Samech on Reb Aaron Cutler, who held that B'di'evid, you can cover the knobs alone. Also, for food set aside only for Shabbos morning, the fire does not need a cover. B'di'evid. This is all B'di'evid if I have no other choice. And I have a chalent which I am not taking from this chalent Friday night. There's no Friday night chalent. The chalent is for Shabbos morning and only for Shabbos morning. So your das is, I'm finished, whatever will be. I'm not going to play with the fire because I don't want to burn it. I just want it to stay warm and cook and stay warm for Shabbos morning. So again, B'di'evid, in case of need, I can leave it on the open fire.
I have a question.
Now if one, I just have one more line, then we can accept questions. If one was, I left out crock pots on purpose, because we will discuss crock pots separate. Crock pot has its own, like, sugya. We can discuss crockpot separately. If one was Oivan Shehiya, number 6, if one was Oivan Shehiya, let's say so on, he took food which was less than a third cooked, and Shehiya is leaving it on from Friday. So he took food less than a third cooked, and he put it on an open fire, and left it on that open fire into Shabbos for his Friday night Seuda. Didn't cover the fire, didn't cover the knobs, didn't do any of that. The halach is, the food is us until Matzei Shabbos. However, in case of machlekes, even if we are machmir, here we are mekel. Meaning, this is why you have to really learn up the sugyas, because the rule is, anytime there's a machlekes in the paiskim, even if we paskin that we're machmir, but if there are paiskim that are mekel, then we won't ask the food if someone did it. if either person can't just do it because we're machmer, but if it was done already, the food won't become usser. Okay? So therefore, if one was Ivan Shi, it's always worthwhile asking a Rav. Hopefully the Rav's familiar with the machlekes simsel beiv to help you out. These are the basic halachas again of Erev Shabbos. I want to leave food on the fire for Shabbos. So again, in one line, either the food should be at least half cooked, or the fire should be covered, and then there's no questions. I just want to throw in one more point over here. The Mishruah does bring down that even if the food is half cooked, there's still a inyan lechatchila to cover your fire. So if someone could cover the fire, and if someone could cover the fire, even though it's a half cooked, then it's better too. A hot plate, you can leave it on without covered, and crackpots, we'll discuss at a later point. Everyone should have a great and wonderful night. And questions? Yeah. What were you going to ask?
What does it mean, b'diavad, in the case of need? What does that mean that you need it? For example, it
means you're not going to have enough food?
You could deal without your second
then
course.
Then that's not a case of need.
You could deal with just chicken, you don't have to have your
that's
steak
not, it's not a case of need. If you'll have enough food, or there's someone who only eats this food, sure. That's called need.
What would be the
good question?